News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right, saving the world one soundbite at a time, I like to say. Hey, by the way, you may have heard the ads, ZLA Solutions. Listen, I know these folks, and they are doing an amazing job right now. They just had their biggest year ever, which, by the way, was a big year, at getting people back to work. And with helping with business solutions. I mean, so ZLA Solutions, they can do things like they can help you with your logistics, with your shipping, with your quality control, but their bread and butter is also your staffing. So they got jobs right now. They've got them. They got contracts to help staff jobs at major places all over Alabama. And they are, by the way, offering jobs that have upwards of $20 an hour, some of them, they told me. So if you're looking for a job, you personally, go to their website, ZLAUSA.com. They've got jobs posted all over the place. At the same time, if you are a an employer looking to fill out the ranks of your own workforce, then yeah, just ZLAUSA.com. Check them out. They can do all the recruiting, the background checks, the drug testing if necessary. They can do all that stuff, blue collar, white collar, no collar. It don't matter, I say all the time. ZLA Solutions. They like to even say, at ZLA, we don't make it. We make it better. And they do. They come in and they help you make your business better. So there's that. Check them out. ZLA Solutions at ZLAUSA.com. All right, changing gears now. We're in number two on the Triple Dipper, Ukraine. What now? What next? Well, a lot, actually. Very interesting piece on FoxNews.com dated this morning. Marco Rubio talking about the situation in Ukraine. He literally said that, you know, whereas President Volodymyr Zelensky reminded policymakers in his speech to them just the other day that the war from Ukraine is far from over, he said 3 weeks in, it's also very clear, though, that even Putin, he says, has to be deciding that Ukraine may have been his greatest miscalculation ever. I hope that's true. The indications on the ground are that it is true. I mean, when you look at things like it's not hard to see, this article points out, it's not hard to see perhaps why someone of a Putin mindset, Putin himself, might have interpreted the moment as being his. I mean, you got the high price of energy. He's got half of Europe slaves to his energy production. He's surrounded by yes men who are scared to say no to his thoughts and ideas. The West has really not been bowing up against him. He took Crimea without anybody saying hardly boo. We had sanctions, but that was about it. There really wasn't a big fuss. Western Europe even sat still. And now here we are. Suddenly, not only is Ukraine fighting back and basically putting a whooping on Russian soldiers left and right, but the West has coalesced around strong sanctions and generalized support, while not necessarily troops on the ground, generalized support of Ukraine's fight. And the Russian economy is being crushed. Well, that's what's happening right now. Now, keep in mind, here's the thing. It's long been a tenet of Russian military doctrine. If you're, and I think Birdman said it a minute ago, that if you're not getting your way, once you're backed into a corner, I think Birdman said, once he's backed into a corner, then you start crushing everything you can, flattening it. Well, the actual phrase that I'm seeing quite often is that the Russians believe in the concept of escalate to de-escalate, meaning if you're not winning and you need to get things ratcheted down, you ramp it up hard and crush the will of the opposition. That's what they're trying to do. All right, so what's happening lately, besides these statements being made by Marco Rubio? Well, first of all, there are increasing calls, bipartisan calls from Congress for the Biden administration to allow a step up in the provision of lethal aid. Now, we're sending quite a bit, all right? We've got Stingers, we've got Javelins, and I said on somebody else's radio, I saw it on Sean Sullivan's radio show yesterday, Stingers and Javelins are great. They are taking a toll right now on Russians. But Stingers and Javelins are what we call a fire-and-forget weapon, both of them. One shot, hopefully one kill, throw away the tube, get a new one. We're going to wind up having to see them to take this thing to the next level. We're going to have to see what I would call some recurring use military systems like MiG-29s from Poland, and I think it's the Su-300 air defense system. If we can get those things to the Ukrainians, then it's going to be a new day. And they know that. They're calling for it. They're asking for it. generally speaking, what we're also seeing too is that military advisors are saying, why would you not give it to them? Well, because right now the Biden administration is scared it will escalate things. It might provoke Putin. He's already provoked. He is absolutely provoked. He's also not necessarily on the ropes, but he's close. Well, okay. So some new things that happened overnight. Russia stepped up its actions against Ukraine by sending missile strikes deep into western Ukraine. All right, keep in mind, Russia's coming in from the east. Most of the fighting we see is on the east and south and southeast side. It's like a half moon shape around the northeast and south borders of Ukraine. The west is where Poland and the rest of the free world sits. Well, yesterday, Russian missiles slammed into Lviv, which is a city just miles over the Polish border. One of the things they targeted there was an airplane repair and renovation center. You may think that sounds kind of random. Well, I heard this morning that one of the issues there is that is the only site within Ukraine that would have done any retrofitting necessary for the MiG-29s to come in and be put to use by Ukraine. So if there was something to do to refit, to reprogram the systems, if there's something that had to be done to translate any of the systems from Polish to Russian or Ukrainian for the Ukrainian pilots then to fly, all of that may have been done, I assume, at the facility that was bombed yesterday. So that's one thing that's happened. Another thing that's happened is today, and this relates, it's slightly different, but it relates. Apparently, President Biden held a two-hour teleconference with President Xi of China. And the White House has issued its statement saying that Biden warned Xi of consequences if China supports Russia. Okay. China, though, has shown little sign of backing away from its support of Russia. Now, China's not necessarily supplying aid and military hardware, but the Russians did ask for that in the last 48 hours. We have discovered that the Russians did indeed ask China for direct assistance to their efforts. Now, follow-up statement to that is the U.S. State Department, as of 11 minutes ago, here's breaking news for you, as of 11 minutes ago, the U.S. State Department refuses at this point to detail any red lines that China shouldn't cross in regards to its support to Russia, meaning we don't want you to do this, but we're not saying anything about how or when or whatever. All right, there's that. On the geopolitical side, still further, French President Macron apparently told Putin in a call to lift the siege of Mariupol. Now, the siege of Mariupol has been ongoing now almost the entire time of the invasion, which we're 3.5 weeks in. So the siege of Mariupol, a city in the southeastern portion on the Black Sea, Mariupol is being leveled. If you've seen any of the video, it is literally, it's devastating. It's being leveled. And the you keep hearing about war crimes. What war crimes? Well, the deliberate targeting of civilians is considered a war crime. And especially the great theater of Mariupol, which is a massive facility, beautiful in its look. I mean, it looked like, you know, something that ought to be, you know, one of the halls of government in Washington, D.C. or something. But it was bombed, largely leveled, and there were reports that up to 1,000 civilians were inside taking shelter in the bomb shelter basement. Wow. And it was even marked outside, clearly on the ground, with the big giant words children, so that overhead flights would know this is a place, don't target this one. It's not a military installation. We're protecting children here. What do? They bombed it. Well, the good news is, though, we are hearing reports now that they are finding survivors in the rubble, and they don't have a high death count. Apparently, that basement must have been something else. So that's good news. As we go through this, Copper, I'll tell you what. You got those clips ready for me? Clip 3 is a shorter. No, clip 3 is my longer clip, isn't it? Nope, right at a minute. Let's do this. Clip 3 is Senator Marco Rubio. He's talking about the fact that we need to be supplying the things that Ukraine is asking for, but doing so has been rather tedious. So, Copper, if you will, let's just do this. Let's do Senator Marco Rubio, courtesy of Fox News. Go ahead and play it.
Well, I think the issue about the Megs is the way it was handled, I think, was inappropriate. What I think stunned a lot of people was that 48 hours earlier, the Secretary of State was saying he was for it, and then suddenly we were not for it. At the end of the day, I think there's a legitimate debate about how useful they would be. But if that's what Ukraine wants and we're trying to help them, we should try to facilitate that, not look to automatically dismiss it in a way that sort of created this this confusion now that might be misread by the Russians as weakness on our part in terms of being supportive of Ukraine. And so I just think it was handled very poorly. Obviously, aircraft can be used for defensive purposes. Look, anytime a country invades you, everything you do is defensive. We're not talking about equipping Ukraine to invade Russia. That's We're talking about equipping them to defend their own country. The Russians are the invaders here.
Anything that a country invades you, anything that you would do to fire back, that is all defensive. Absolutely true. What is your take on labeling now?
All right. Great point. All they're asking for is things necessary to defend. Now, there is some concern that the MiG-29s being said, and I get it. I guess I get it. I get where the thought processes are. I just don't agree with them. That is, it involves an escalation. Well, you're already giving them what it takes to defend themselves, but only to a certain point. Anti-aircraft is great when you've got Stingers, as long as it's low-flying aircraft that the Stinger can reach. Stinger also, by the way, is generally speaking a line of sight, and it's also a fire and forget weapon. And then you've got the fact that we're seeing armed drones and other things being supplied, but yet we've also got the fact that MiG-29s, MiG fighters in general, a robust air force is going to provide exponential capabilities to taking out Russian troops on the ground. Because right now what we're seeing is apparently Russia does not have air superiority. And if we put more in the hands of Ukrainian pilots, oh yeah, that's, but it's all for defensive purposes because they've been invaded. They're not going to go invade Russia with it. Wow. All right, Copper, move us to a break. We'll come back more on this. Ukraine, what now, what next? You want to call in and talk about it? Glad to hear your opinion. 866-494-9866. That's 866-494-9866. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hey, by the way, as I do the news, and you hear me resourcing the show, like I got the paper and I rattle it whenever I've got the news story. I mean, I literally get up in the morning every day and I send Birdman a huge list of links based upon the Triple Dipper for the day. And one of the sources that I go to is 1819 News. I go there every morning checking to see what they've got posted, what news stories they've come up with. 1819news.com, 1819 News. These folks are new to the scene here in Alabama. Came out just, last fall, I believe. And they are, by the way, also affiliated with the Alabama Policy Institute, where Right Side Radio came from. And so you know they're going to be conservative, but they're calling balls and strikes, all right? They're doing clear, clean reporting. And it's all stuff that's around our state, right here in our neighborhoods, so to speak. But one of the things I really like about 1819 News is you can tell they love Alabama. I mean, like when I read AL.com or some of the others, which I go to their sites, I have to look at it and go, daggum, man, do you just hate living here? What's your deal? Well, not 1819 News. They'll report things good, bad, and ugly. But at the same time, they give you stories that make you proud of living here. And so anyway, check them out. 1819news.com. That's 1819news.com. One of my favorite news sources. I know the folks that run it personally. In fact, you've heard them subbing in for me when I'm out of town or something. 1819news.com. Great news source. Please check them out. All right, going back to number two on the Triple Dipper. And by the way, this is going to lap over into the next hour. But Ukraine, what now, what next? I did see this. You know, I told you earlier, right before we went to that last break, that President Macron of France made another call to Putin, asking him to lift the siege of Mariupol. We've got the fact that Biden was on the phone with China. Now, all these things are, you know, I guess this is what leaders do, is they keep the open lines of communication. I did just see, though, that one independent defense reporter with the Kiev Independent, a Ukrainian, goes by the name of Ilya Ponomarenko on Twitter. I follow Ilya. Anyway, just tweeted out, Macron should stop making all those calls to Putin. Putin just enjoys being humbly begged. That's a great point. He says, time and again, these attempts to nicely talk him into becoming a human being look increasingly pathetic, if not laughable. That's a reporter inside Kyiv saying that. Other stories right now. NationalReview.com. NationalReview.com reporting that U.S. defense officials say they believe that Russia has committed 75% of its total military. Now, I don't think that's accurate. I think there was a review of the story, and it was felt like, okay, you're saying 75% of their total military. Well, right now we believe their military to be roughly 1 million total personnel. So we don't see 1 million or 75%, like 750,000 in Ukraine. However, what we are seeing is it does appear he has committed his entire, for the most part, his entire force. That 190,000 plus troops that were massed on the border, upwards of 95% of them are now in country. Basically, he has not held on to a reserve force. He is all in on this. Now, I don't know how much more he's going to commit or where they're going to come from. We are also seeing reports, though, that say that literally the Russians are taking heavy casualties, upwards of 7,000 dead, and estimates of 14,000 to 21,000 injured. The Ukrainians claim to have inflicted more than 11,000 dead. Balance the two, the conservative estimate 7,000 is still a significant, significant number for a three-week campaign. That's epic scale right there. All right, folks, got to take a break. Got to have the news. Got to have some of our team members advertise. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. We'll come back and do more of Ukraine, what now, what next. And then after that, you're going to want to hear number three on the Triple Dipper, the day that women's sports died. Yep. I'll cover that in detail. You hang tight. We'll be right back.
Right Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. By the way, our podcast, if you like the show but you miss part of it, you can catch it like by that evening or the next morning at the latest. You can catch a part of the show that you might have missed, or for that matter, if you heard a part of the show and you liked it and thought, I want to hear that twice or hear what they said again or have that interview go, or you want to send it to somebody because you can email those podcast segments. Just know this, every single day we do the show and Copper takes the time to segment the show into different segments, like the Triple Dipper segments and the interviews and that kind of thing. She puts them out there and hangs them out where Birdman can get to them. He grabs them and puts them into podcast format and they are uploaded to virtually every version of podcasting available. All right. So if you're a Podbean, if you're a Amazon, if you're a Google, if you're a Apple, go to our website, rightsideradio.org, and you got all the podcasts there. Last time I checked, which has been several days ago, we were like almost 32,500, something like that, podcast downloads. And I still love the fact that, by the way, one of our biggest podcast audiences, our second biggest outside of the folks in Alabama, is is the folks in California. So thank you for that. In fact, I just clicked on it to see where we stand. I'm trying to get the podcast to come up right now while I'm talking about it. We are at, oh, shoot. Come on now. It's not showing me. Why would it not do that? I don't know. Oh, 32,000. Yeah, we're about to hit 33,000. So That's awesome. Thank you all so much. If you want to podcast it, go to rightsideradio.org. You will find it. Back on this thing with the Triple Dipper number two, Ukraine, what now, what next? Interesting thing. Vladimir Putin, and when have we ever seen him do this, right? Vladimir Putin held a giant rally in a soccer stadium yesterday, and it was basically called a pro-war rally, where he laid it on thick. He had, and you know, you look at it and go, okay, we do rallies in the United States, not like this. No, we don't. We do rallies as a matter of course. Trump does a rally. Politicians do rallies. It happens regularly. It's a part of politics in the United States. It's not a part of politics in the Soviet Union, or the Soviet Union, in Russia. But Putin did one yesterday because what he's doing right now is trying to raise support domestically for his war effort. And so this was billed as a pro-war rally. Russian flags were, you know, being waved by the citizenry and people all around this giant stage that looked like a rock star stage, and Putin out there in a giant winter coat just telling everybody how great things are and what they're going to do and how they're saving the world from Nazification. Well, that's just an amazing lie. I mean, anybody who believes for a second that the head of a nation who is Jewish, which is what Volodymyr Zelensky is. Volodymyr Zelensky is Jewish. His grandparents are survivors of Auschwitz. And yet, apparently he's the Nazi leader of Ukraine. Anyway, news story off of Fox, dated yesterday. Putin laid out demands for a ceasefire. In other words, here's what it will take for me to stop the war. In a phone call with Turkish President Erdogan, Russian President Vladimir Putin reportedly outlined the conditions that would need to be met in order for him to end his invasion of Ukraine. Okay, first of all, what this is saying is, I'm going to keep beating you up until you do what I want. That's what this amounts to, all right? It's not like there were mean things happening to me, so we went to war. If you'll stop doing the mean things, and well, no. So here's the list of things that we know about. Number one. He demands that they demilitarize Ukraine. He also, a complete disarmament, by the way, a complete disarmament. Why would you ever do that? He also demands certain legal protections for the Russian language in Ukraine. Really? He also demands face-to-face negotiations with Volodymyr Zelensky to hammer out his demands. And he wants to denazify. This is ridiculous. And first, what you're basically saying is, I will keep beating you until you allow me to beat you. That's what it boils down to. That's what it is. I mean, total disarmament in the wake of having stormtroopers coming across the border from Russia and missiles flying in and destroying your cities. But if you'll completely disarm, I will stop bombing you. No, how about this? We're not disarming because you bombed us. Another story off of Fox, dated yesterday. You will be, not moved at all to find out that South Africa's president is supporting Russia. I put this in the why do we care category. But headline, FoxNews.com, March 17th, South Africa's president blames NATO for Russia's invasion of Ukraine, saying war could have been avoided. South African President Cyril Ramaphosa on Thursday blamed NATO for provoking Russia into invading its neighbor Ukraine. Okay, I find myself thinking, gee, Cyril, what level of Russian investment in your South African country are you looking for here? Yeah, well, that's exactly what I think is going on. Other things happening as we wind down this segment. Let me just tell you. It's really been something to watch the refugee crisis as it unfolds. Right now, the United Nations, the UNHCR, which is the United Nations High Council for Refugees, and another organization called IOM, the International Order of Migration, says they believe that 6.4 million people have been displaced. That doesn't mean they're refugees yet. It just means they have been shifted out of their homes. They've been shifted away from their normal routines. They have been basically pushed out of their typical bailiwick. So 6.4 million people displaced. The population is roughly 42 million. That means that you're looking at 1/7 of the nation has now been displaced. 12 million, it says, are stranded or unable to flee. So you've got 1/7 of the nation that has been displaced. You've got another 2/7 is. Stranded and unable to get away. And then right now we are also hearing that upwards of somewhere in the neighborhood of 3.2 to 3.4 million refugees have crossed over the borders into Western countries Western border countries trying to get away. That's a massive humanitarian crisis right there. Well, last story I'll touch on. Could the war between Ukraine and Russia be over in 2 weeks? I don't know. Story off of a website called 1945.com dated yesterday. Says war in Ukraine over in 2 weeks. Don't know. What they're talking about here, though, is that it does appear to be a logistical nightmare for Russia. They're having trouble resupplying their troops. They're having trouble getting what they need in terms of ammunition, beans and bullets, all of it. And so right now, 1945.com is reviewing the situation and saying that it's possible that after peace talks continued on Tuesday between Ukraine and Russia, certain things were said, and that it is looking to be like time is of the essence for Russia, and that a senior official from the Ukrainian government said that they have room to talk more, but what we're looking at right now is this is also something that could be negotiated. Like, will they find a place? 1945.com is suggesting that the talks between the two, while we are seeing Russia struggling to resupply its troops, and that Lieutenant General Keith Kellogg says he thinks maybe 2 weeks left logistical capabilities. 1945.com is also saying that it appears that there's enough discussion going on between the two countries where there is speculation they might find a diplomatic solution within 2 weeks. If they find a diplomatic solution, it's going to be because Putin couldn't win militarily. I am not of the belief, me personally, that Putin is willing to throw all his cards on the table so he can stop short of his goal. I really believe that the only way that Ukraine hammers out a ceasefire is if Putin recognizes he can't win and that he has to take a half win. And so he's going to want to have something that gives him save face capability in the eyes of the world. That's where it's really dangerous, by the way. Marco Rubio went on in his comments earlier that I played part of to say that the times that we're in right now, this portion of the conflict with Putin's forces not making the ground that they want, with their logistics being so hampered, with the fact that the Ukrainians are literally basically putting the wood to them, if you get down to it, that we're in a dangerous place because this is when Putin may lash out and do something extremely rash and try to justify it as a means of recouping lost ground. All right, folks, keep your eyes on this over the weekend because we may be taking a break on Right Side for the weekend, back on Monday, but the war in Ukraine is going to go on. And by the time I get home this evening, I guarantee you new things will have already happened. All right, listen, we're going to come back and go to number 3 on the Triple Dipper. This one is staggering. I'm calling this segment The Day Women's Sports Died. Have you heard about the transgender person who is now the Division I female champion, even though born a biological male? Yeah. Well, we're going to unpack that a little bit. The day that women's sports died, that's what I'm calling number 3 on the Triple Dipper. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. We'll be right back.